Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 251, episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Tuesday, August 23rd, 2022. What does that mean?
Oh, man. National Cuban Sandwich Day.
Hell yeah.
All hail the Cubano.
Bang, bang.
National Ride the Wind. I don't know what Ride the Wind Day is. And National Sponge Cake Day.
I like sponge cake.
Mix it up, maybe. Put, you know, Cuban sandwich, except with sponge cake.
Ham, as pickles, the mustard.
Sponge cake.
Yeah, sponge absolutely. Cake. Disrespect both things, yeah.
Yeah.
Ride the wind, brother.
Wait, what is ride? Now I'm curious. I'm like, is that a saying? Is that like a white people saying I'm missing
out? I don't know. Probably. It's probably some extreme sport, like kite fishing or
some
shit. Holy
shit, Jack, you know? You're pretty spot on. It's about like anything that's like about gliding with the wind, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Ride the wind, brother.
Yeah, I should have known.
I feel like it always comes, I feel like it should just be ride the wind, brother.
Right.
Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Blippi Blippi. Oh, no. He gotta go. He pooped on his friend's butthole. Blippi Blippi. Oh, baby. I guess he had to go. That is courtesy of at TDZ Burner, another Zeitgeist listener going through the Blippi stages, the stages of the Blippi as a parent. My kid watches Blippi, and I shared this story with my wife, and she acted like I was the weird one. It's a weird one. It's a weird story. It's a hard story to tell to anyone, that the child performer Blippi pooped on his friend's butthole. Anyways, thanks for the AKA, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I said, how I get to Lambo? We got blunts and dames. We got everything you want, honey. We know the names. We are the people that both host the podcast, Mad Boosties. None of my Nikes, honey, have got any creases. Get to Lambo. How I get to Lambo? Hey, look up at that. Blim.
Okay, shout out Lockeroni.
Blimps at the end.
Yeah, you know, got it. Look, ever since Dan O'Brien came on talking about blimps and stuff, blimps have been in the zeitgeist with everybody. I just thought, you know what's so funny? Did you guys do a video cracked about blimps or something? Because when I told Her Majesty about the blimp thing, she's like, yeah, I know. She's like, so now I know some shit you don't. And I was like, damn, okay.
Wow.
She's like, I think it may have been for a bit or something. I don't know. But anyway.
It sounds like the sort of thing we would have done, and I would have completely forgotten about. Hey, speaking of crack videos, Miles, We are thrilled to be joined by one of my favorite actors from those videos, also a brilliant and talented producer of the Must Watch Some More News with Cody Johnson, podcast host of Even More News, and the dearly departed Worst Year Ever. It is the brilliant, the talented Katie Stoll!
Hey! I can speak now! Yeah! I'm here! Hi, guys.
Ugh, hey, hey.
Hi.
Love being here. You always make me feel so good about myself.
It's great to have you. Big fans. And you recently relocated up to the mountains.
I sure did.
A thing you're sharing with the world?
It sure is. I'm not going to share the specifics of the mountains. I mean, it's a big mountain range, but I'm not going to tell my specific town. It has been a journey.
Yeah.
It's just like I threw a bomb in the middle of my life, and it's good, but it's a big adventure.
I'm
up here.
Are you nimble? Are you good with change?
I am good with change.
Oh, okay. So then the bomb is
highly adaptable. Yeah. I thought for a while maybe I didn't, but the last few years have shown me that I am.
Right.
There's so many reasons why I decided to do it. One of which is that my folks are in the area and they're getting older, and I deeply miss them ever since I left for college when I was 18. And so it's kind of like now or never. Affordability. Yeah. But also, I don't want to say emerged from the pandemic because we are still in the pandemic, but I emerged from the lockdown period of the pandemic with a different world. Mm. You know, I'm in my late 30s now, and that was like the tail end of the youthfulness. Now everyone's having babies and are married and whatnot. Right. And it's exciting. But, you know, I don't actually see my closest friends that often when I'm in LA anyway.
Right. You said the town you moved to was like a place you went for vacation growing up?
The only place we ever vacationed was up here because I grew up in, you know, this was just the family thing my whole life. And my parents, it was always the dream to retire here. And they made that happen. And in my mind, this was something that, you know, like I would maybe get a spot up here when I'm old, you know, or like someday keep my parents' place and have that be a family spot. But it's just, it's reimagining what that dream looks like. And I did date someone briefly a while back, and that was a big mistake. Up there.
You were saying it was an old prospector?
Yeah. He just was so dusty all the time.
Anyway,
you know?
You said he'd scream at you when you touch his divining rod?
And then once he brought up Jordan Peterson, I was like, later.
That's why I got to keep your room clean.
But what that did show me was that it's not just old people up here, or that there are more things to do. There's different spots and there's lots, and it's changing. And so immediately after being up here, I had vaguely tweeted about the mountains, and then somebody reached out on Twitter saying, if it happens to be X mountains, let me know. And it was, and she lives in this town, and it's just changing. People are doing what I'm doing.
Oh, that's so cool.
And while it is pretty conservative, it is changing. The Democratic primary went for Bernie here. So, it's been really exciting and challenging, and I don't regret it.
Yeah, that's good. So cool. That's good. Yeah. It's all good stimulation.
You're kind of living the dream of, like, my version of that was Ocean City, New Jersey. And every time I go there, I'm always like, man, what if I just like moved here? And like there's only like a couple thousand people during the winter there. And it's still like, I don't know, nice, and you're close to the ocean and the high school is good. I hang out at local high schools a lot.
The teens are so cool in this town. Super chill.
For the kids, you guys.
Yeah. No, Jack, there's something to that, you know, not that everybody should do exactly what I'm doing, but I do think that you have to think about, we all, not you, have to think about what is important and acknowledge that we don't have very much time here, and the world is changing rapidly and intensely. And so if there is something that you want to do that brings you some peace, or if there is something that you want to do that you will say someday, I wish I had explored that, I don't see why not, because you can work from home. The challenging thing for me will be that I still want to act. I've done significantly less of that. But the whole reason I was able to do this is because my good friend Milana, they put me in a bunch of commercials And, you know, but auditions are all online and Zoom, whatnot. Yeah. And so, like, if you talk to your, I mean, I just encourage everybody to think, look at their lives a little differently, maybe.
Yeah.
And shout out to Milana.
You know, we always kind of think.
Yeah, thank you, Milana. Happiness. Thank you for my house. I love you.
Shout out, Milana Vintrub. All praise. But yeah, I think everybody, you know, you have those moments where you think of like, oh, my life will be good if I live this very specific way. Or you grow up thinking like, oh, my life will be this as an adult, where this will be my job and I'll like that and I'll live here. But very quickly, like, you learn to kind of distill those things down to like very simple things. And like, sometimes, like, I don't need to live in X city or live in or work in X industry. It's really about what my environment is and what my day to day life actually is like.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So exactly. It's always interesting, like, to kind of take that on and think like, oh shit, like, actually I really kind of just want to sit near a river a lot. Yeah. Like, that might be more exciting to me than to go to bars all the time or some shit, where I've had friends do that who suddenly they're like, nah, I realize I've focused my needs.
It really was hammered home to me with, I mean, over and over over the past few years, but with Roe v. Wade,
mm-hmm.
that was so devastating. And I was in my place in LA and I wanted to get out. I just needed to go and reconnect with nature or something. And then you have to, it's brutally hot. You have to battle tons of traffic to get anywhere, and it's parking, and you just, right. I felt claustrophobic versus here you have a bad day. And I end up by going and kayaking.
Right. Oh, that's okay. Very cool.
That's there different.
Yeah,
well, we'll see. Like, and then I can always, we'll see. My life is long. If this doesn't work out for me, then I can always reevaluate.
Another kayak spot, you know?
Yeah.
Ride the wind.
It's working out.
If you got to.
Ride the wind. My God, that sounds like a Bob Seger song, doesn't it?
Ride the wind, brother.
Ride the wind. I guess that's against the wind.
It might be. Well, maybe he should have thought of riding the wind instead of going against it. Maybe.
It would have been a very different message.
Yeah. All right, Katie, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. Boy. First, we're going to tell our listeners few of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about why, at least my eyes are on Brazil. I'm very curious how this upcoming election is going to happen, because they have a certified like socialist candidate that is getting the majority of the support in opinion polls. They have a right-wing authoritarian president currently in office who is like just mimicking the Trump playbook, and I don't know, it could go a number of different ways. So we're just going to talk about that and why it's fascinating and scary. We're going to talk about it's back to school time, and you know what that means. Time mm-hmm. to go out and do some back to school shopping, and for teachers that means arming yourself with assault rifles in some places in America. We're going to talk about some of the solutions people are coming up with for school shootings in the United States that are in no way a symptom of a completely devastatingly fucked up society. Not, it's that we're nope. killing it, guys. This is
give
this
it a
is
shot. Give it a shot.
News.
Wait till you hear it.
All of that, plenty more. But first, Katie, we'd like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
All right. Well, I just set myself up for this now. I'm researching two things: generators and solar panels.
Get off that grid, girl.
Get off that fucking grid. I don't know, though. I haven't gotten very deep into it. I actually was like, maybe I'll mention this on the podcast and then everybody will give me the answers that I need.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's people who work in solar and Zeitgang, because I had a question and a bunch of people hit me up about like inverters. They're like, oh, you need help.
Did you end up deciding to do that?
Yeah, yeah. I'm like on the precipice of embracing solar fully.
I think that I should, but we do get snow. But then I was reading that actually solar panels can work better at higher altitudes.
Oh shit! Okay,
and that I don't know why, but
closer to the sun. Closer to the sun. I mean, that's well, truly what they say about like getting.
it's like not that much higher elevation, you know.
but like we, you know, there are. Flight attendants are more likely to get like radiation from flying all the time at that higher altitude. And I know that I've heard, and it could be old wives or old husbands. All the old wives need to, we need to give them a break. It's the old husbands who are fucking it up. Old husbands'
nonsense.
Tales that like you have to wear sunscreen at higher altitudes even more because you're more likely to get a sunburn.
Well, I'll tell you what. I haven't been getting burned up here, but again, not that much higher elevation, truly, if you think about it. Not compared to, you know, a flight attendant flying.
I wear more sunscreen on the second floor of my house.
Yeah, that's smart.
That's how I roll. Yeah.
That's just common sense.
Yeah, not this time.
No, higher, you're right, Jack.
Yeah, I am researching, but solar panels, true, yes, but the generator is the first stop that I have to do, and that is an unfortunate necessary expense because they have to put the take the power offline, whatever the terminology is. You lose power regularly to prevent fires. So we love preventing fires.
We love it, don't we, folks?
We love it.
You love me, though, right? Okay, good. But yeah, oh, it's true, Jack. 4% more powerful sometimes. 4%
really?
Higher levels.
Hey, man, over time.
Every 1,000-foot increase, according to the National Institutes of Health, UV levels increase by about 4%. So it adds up. It adds up.
Also, time moves faster when you're at a higher altitude because less gravity. It does, truly.
So maybe that's why the days slip away.
I thought you were doing in some kind of joke. Like, you know, they say the days go a little bit slower around
from
here.
A physics perspective.
Right.
It's
like indistinguishable in any sort of observable way. But over the course of like millennia, I know there was like something about how the core of the Earth is like 100 years younger than the crust because of just how time and gravity operate on one another. Which doesn't make sense, but it's real. What is something you think is overrated, Katie?
Boy, I went back and forth on these. Some I overrated, underrated. All right. This one, no one's going to be surprised by. Overrated. Presidents. I don't like presidents. This was on my mind because I was having a conversation with my parents, and they were talking about, like, well, in terms of presidents, you'd sure like to have Bill Clinton in your neighborhood more than Donald Trump. And I went, no, I wouldn't. And I don't want us to be talking about presidents like that. We don't. Let's be done with the hero worshiping. They're all bad people. Every single one of them. Who nobody wants to be president unless you're not well. You want to have life and death power. The decision to, you know, authorize drone strikes. I don't think anybody who wants to be president is probably somebody that I want to be friends with. And I unfortunately have to include Bernie Sanders, although maybe he would be the exception to that rule. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Presidents. They're greatest people.
They're greatest people. I'm here to say it.
Presidents are
gods on earth.
I mean, overrated. Look, I don't know that anybody really overrates presidents these days.
Oh, I think for sure they do.
Some people do.
Yeah.
But it does set me up for my underrated.
Well, I just want to say on the overrated, that, like, I'm always reminded of this whenever people talk or like when I watch The Crown and like things like about the British monarchy and how like there is in societies like these a need to believe that there are people who are like gods on earth.
Yeah.
And like America just collapsed it into being both the head of state, like the most powerful person in the country, and also like the person that we award this absurd symbolic like value to. And it's super unhealthy.
And super unhealthy. And in general, I don't know. It's all so divisive. Like I was saying, I don't know if I said this on the recording. I think this was before we started recording, being up here and talking to people and realizing actually a lot of our differences are being manipulated by media and by politicians that want to win. And, you know, they play into the whole culture war bullshit when truly there are awful, ugly people out there no matter what. But I think that we put so much power behind my Republican president, my Democratic president, and you become a hypocrite and then you lose all credibility with the other side. Like, I can't sit here and criticize Donald Trump being a rapist and not also acknowledge that Bill Clinton is a fucking rapist.
Right.
You know, and we don't have to defend that just because we voted for him and we don't want to like be wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think, yeah, it's like, it's easier to just be like, yeah, man, it's fucked up to vote. Like, presidents are fucked up.
Right.
Rather than like, how could you say that about our commander in chief? Right. It's like, how could I say a thing that was reported about them?
Right.
What are you talking about? Like, ooh. What does it fuck up your whole life if you go, I don't want to acknowledge that. That's ugly. We can't talk about that. It's like, well, it sounds like in general, you're unwilling to like confront some of the ills in society if you can't sort of like just sit with like the blunt truth of certain things and be like, yeah, that's not great.
Because we can't fix it unless we fix it on all sides. It's right, not okay if it's from our side, you know. 100%. And I've just been thinking about that a lot. And accountability in general is really lacking from people just in their personal lives, but just across the board. You're like, well, I can't call out something unless I'm willing to acknowledge it with myself too.
So. Right. What's something you think is underrated?
Underrated local politics. Mm-hmm. A lot of people I think that listen to this show or listen to my shows probably are already on the same page with this. But mentioned my friend that I made here in a short period of time. You know, she's working on a housing crisis in California, but specifically here, remarkable. In a short period of time has gotten approved the development of tiny house build that's going to happen soon before the winter for the unhoused community up here that is going to be experiencing winter conditions soon. And there was a lot of back and forth, but you know, this new friend has got people from both sides and involved and commissioned a whole survey of different sites and landed on this one that seems to be the most, you know, and they're planning to do it in a way that's not restrictive, that isn't like you can't bring your belongings in, you can't, you know, and they're hoping to no restrictions about timing, like when you can enter and like, we'll see what happens. But I was really inspired by that, by the ability to actually get something done and go beyond like what politics, you know, the culture war, just right. Actually have conversations with people. And I think that's really inspiring and is truly the way forward for all of us right now. We're looking at climate change effects. I mean, on a local level, we can do what we can to shore up our infrastructure, to look out for our communities, to build resilience, all of it. So that is what I'm here to say is underrated and blown away by it, truly.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Not that there aren't like some, you know, who knows what happens next. We will learn from this, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm sure that there will be things that happen that could be done better. But
sure. But I think, yeah, getting just connecting to your community is always it's massively empowering. Like, you know, at any level, like, yeah, at the highest levels of like being able to contribute to, you know, things to help like the people in your town, like through government or through the local government, or just even like knowing who you live around is right. Like massively energizing too. Like I walk pretty consistently more and more and more and more in my neighborhood to the point where like I'm starting to really be like, that's them. And that sense of community that just comes from like exchanging pleasantries with people consistently too is so life affirming.
For sure.
Yeah. And you just kind of be like, yeah, okay, good. I live with other human beings and people who are, you know, got their head in the game and want to do good.
Yeah.
And I think at the, like, you know, we talk about how we're headed for a climate disaster that's kind of already here in a lot of ways, but like things are going to get more dire in the near future. And like, I don't know, you like doing things on a local level, like finding things that work on a local level that then can get like elevated up or, you know, used like that, those... That's like a possibility of like how we come up with solutions and actually figure this thing out.
Yeah.
It's definitely has more promise than just arguing with people based on like what, you know, Tucker Carlson said.
Or, yeah. Yeah.
You know, Rachel Maddow or whatever side you're on, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. And I want to talk briefly about the upcoming Brazilian election. We've kind of mentioned it in passing before, but, you know, as we've discussed recently on the show, the U.S. is out loud kind of fascist tendencies of late are part of a global trend. Like, you know, fascism is capitalism's response to the failure of capitalism, and like when the market economy makes it clear that a leftward movement is necessary because like just leaving it to the market is not working, capitalist societies will reliably respond with fascism of some sort. Like it really is like, I don't know, sometimes helpful to just think of it as like a body, like, and like America has a immune system, and like all capitalist countries with like that sort of makeup, their immune system's response is fascism. Like whenever things are going badly, like that's one of the options they throw out, is to just have a complete break with reality. And like I bring that idea up, that metaphor of like the body politic up, mostly because America is so averse to socialism that it feels like America is allergic to socialism, that it's just like, we can't do this.
The branding around hating socialism is really quite remarkable, when it's such an obvious answer. Everything that people complain about, everything that they that's wrong. And also, we don't have pure capitalism. There are experiments all, like, we already have bits of it, you know, like this integrated elements of socialism. It's like, wait, why is it something so fearful you have to be afraid of?
Yeah,
it's just wild. I mean, it's like created a like a instant reflex in people to hear the word socialism or communism, and they immediately think, I'm eating dirt in a hut, and I have to give the government will come for my television and Wi-Fi, and I will give that up so I can pick up a fucking sickle and, you know, go do yard work or whatever. And so there's like always this like, it's just dismissed like offhand immediately. And then it's just, there's like that Simpsons episode where like Lisa's talking about like everyone's getting all riled up, and she's like, what if there was like a system where like healthcare could be provided? Like, yeah, that sounds good. And like other people, someone's like, wait, is that socialism? And someone, and she's like, well, it has element. They're like, get the fuck out of here. Even though they were on board with every single thing up until they hear the fucking word. Right. Which is really wild. Like how that, just like the dots just don't connect, or are purposefully made to not connect in most people's minds.
In that town that I was talking about, that like is my version of where you moved, Katie, that's like there was a house that had a yard sign that said, socialism has no home here. And I was so tempted to just stop and ask them, like, what do you think socialism
or is? Just say, what's socialism? Or just go, what's socialism?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Play
oh, damn. What's socialism?
Oh, what's that?
Right.
Oh man. You don't want to know. They'll make you share with the needy. Well, not directly. It's just that they would probably tax people at a higher rate, which I'm not really part of that scheme. So it would probably create better outcomes for people. I don't know.
The idea like, oh, I'm going to be paying a lot for nothing. You already are, buddy.
Right. And also you are paying for your trash and your waste to be removed from your home, and for water to come to your home, and all sorts of things that are basically on a socialist model in a lot of places.
Exactly. And but also we leave out of the conversation the fact that billionaires and corporations get to skirt and avoid taxes and, you know, exploit people in order to make, there's so much money, there's so much wealth that is being hoarded. And so like there's I understand that the logistics are great because nobody's ever actually done it here.
Right.
But, like, there's a way to do this where you're not feeling this difference. All you're actually feeling is like, oh, now I have health insurance.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and like this whole argument of, well, I want to go to my doctor. Well, yeah, you get to go to any doctor.
Yeah. Brazil is a great illustration of this sort of duality. They have a actual like socialist alternative that is running for president in Lula, former president, and has outsized support after the current authoritarian term of Bolsonaro. And then Bolsonaro, like they basically have the two options, fascism and socialism, on the ticket. And socialism has the vast majority of the support, according to opinion polls, which we've learned not to trust in this country. But at least it seems like Bolsonaro and the people who have access to the levers of power are concerned about the results of the opinion polls, because he has been basically claiming that the upcoming election on October 2nd is going to be fraudulent. It's like, even though there's never been a problem with fraud in the history of Brazilian elections, and in fact, Brazil is one of the only like massive countries that reports the results of their voting the same day. Like they have it like that locked down. He's like, nah, it's too rigged. Susceptible. It's too susceptible to being rigged. And he's like picked out this very, you know, a hypothetical tech scenario that people are like, well, I mean, that could happen, but like it's, you know, there's like a 0.00001% chance. And like now, like we can guard against that and we would know if it happened. And he's like, nah, that's, we can't hold this election because the voting machines, it's really like he's just reading from the Trump playbook in a way.
That's how
he
got in office.
Yeah. It's very, very straightforward.
I mean, not that that's why, but that gave people like, oh yeah, that kind of works. Okay. This is a wave.
Right.
But
totally.
It's kind of one of those things too. Cause like, you know, they've before the like Workers' Party was in power in Brazil, and for a while, like talk saying shit that was even like remotely close to like privatizing a public service, people would have lost their fucking shit over that idea. But it's just funny how like an economic crisis and a few other things compound and like immediately kind of people are like, oh, wait, actually, no, let's try this other thing now. Right. And it's always interesting how these sort of like a crisis, a corruption scandal can all kind of come together and people suddenly associate one with the other. And boom, now you have like the table set for some other goon to come in and offer something, quote unquote, different.
Well, the past few years have been seismic in showing people all the cracks and how desperately important all of these, everything that comes along with a socialist candidate is to their present and to their future. And it does, I know you can't really pay too much attention to opinion polls, but it does feel good to see that when there is a socialist candidate on the fucking ticket, that the support is there. And I think that's really encouraging in general, but it's as encouraging as it is scary to see the two sizes coming up against each other like this. Because, I mean, we absolutely have offered a playbook. And the fact that it got as far as it did here in America, when we're supposed to have all these checks and balances protecting against it, makes me terrified for other places that don't, you know, that are much more easily manipulated and easily to, I mean, that was our first coup, you know, and like other places have more history with it. So it's definitely scary.
Yeah.
Not just in Brazil, but everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it like just the idea, like as we've laid it out, like they have a right wing kind of militaristic dictatorial person in power. Then there is a socialist alternative that is like charging towards power. That in my mind, you know, having paid attention to history for the past like 50 years, that reads to me as like, oh, this is gonna go bad. But the way the New York Times is writing about it, they're like, Brazil's last coup in 1964 led to a brutal 21-year military dictatorship. The middle class supported it, business people supported it, the press supported it, and the U.S. supported it.
Get rid of every other group they mentioned before that.
Well, none of these players support a coup now. And I'm like, is that true?
Right.
Because like, it has the CIA and the US and like all of the, you know, international, multinational corporations, like, have they so thrown out that like sort of dominoes ideal of like, well, if Brazil falls, then we're next and we need to like make sure that doesn't happen. I don't know. There's just like something about this that like doesn't feel like we're taking the possibility of a coup, of an assassination, of the socialists' leadership seriously enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's been terrible right wing violence though against a lot of the leftists there. That's happening now.
Right.
Like they're definitely in that phase where there is already terrible like partisan violence.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't seem like a very accurate. I'm agreeing with what you're saying, especially you look around the world. I mean, Russia. OK, there's just people are doing the thing. these leaders are doing the things that you think, yeah, but it would be bad if they actually did it. But they're doing it. They don't care. They're going to push it and get away with it, you know, or what's going to happen in China with Taiwan. You know, it's.
I mean, yeah, like you're just like with Trump, right? There's definitely a type of politician now that's like just like a raptor in Jurassic Park, just testing the fences
right.
for like weaknesses. Exactly. And they're just waiting for the fence to be off. And they're going to just walk right through. Like that's you can tell. Just look at right now, like even in the U.S. with all these secretaries of state or the people who are going to oversee like elections and things like that. We're already seeing people who come in who are embracing like this like dumb election fraud bullshit.
Right.
And so they're starting like from that one touch of the fence. They're like, oh, OK, so the next one, we got to make sure there's stooges in these positions,
right,
too.
Right.
So the next time we touch the fence, it is not on. And yeah, it is eroding. And like some people, I mean, many people are sort of sounding the alarm, but I think most people are kind of unaware of like how cynical their moves are, especially for something like, you know, when it comes to maintaining power in this sense, where they're just like, yeah, fuck it. We can, there's a way to do it. If you just get these people to agree, then fucking rules don't matter.
Well, also, you can just say whatever the fuck you want and make it true. You know, Donald Trump has his beautiful home raided. His beautiful, beautiful home is raided. Beautiful. And he says, you know, I didn't do anything wrong, but also Obama stole 30,000 documents and I declassified my documents. Which one is it, buddy? It doesn't matter. He just threw verbal vomit out there. And now pick your poison of an excuse that you can have if you're talking about this, you know, and it doesn't matter whether or not that's true. Mm-hmm. And there is so much going on all at once that it's all people can do to pay their bills, to, you know, make sure that their kids get to school and they're not shocked. Like, it's chaos. And so you don't have room for most people's daily lives. They don't have room to separate the truth from the fiction.
Yeah. To that point of like, you can say whatever you want. A fifth of the country has now lost faith in the election systems, even though there is no problem with the election systems.
Right.
A fifth of Brazilian voters, like just based on that, what would seem to be a very straightforward, he starts hearing that he's going to lose the next election and suddenly is worried about fraud. Like, that seems like a fairly straightforward thing, but suddenly a fifth of the country has lost faith in the election system. Another thing that they brought up
fifth could just be his hardcore supporters.
Yeah, it could be, for sure.
Because they're like, yeah, that's right, that's bullshit. So then when you're polled, you're like,
people,
I'm in the column of agreeing with Bolsonaro.
The other thing that they point to in that realm is that they're like, and there's he really loosened like gun restrictions. So now like there are so many Brazilians who are armed, 600,000, over 600,000.
Could you imagine that many people with guns?
In the U.S., it is 72 million. Say it's not a danger in Brazil. I'm just saying, like, it. I feel like sometimes we don't realize how dangerous.
Yeah.
It's so wild how many guns. Like, even if you were to ban them tomorrow, there are so many guns.
Dude, people, I've someone, like, texted me, like, where their dad found a gun they forgot about, like, in the garage. They're like, oh, look what I found. Forgot about this one. You're like, we live in a fucking place where people are like, whoopsie, I have this old, you know, gun here in the fucking garage I forgot about. But
yeah, when one of my relatives passed, they found a handgun, and like the process of like figuring out what to do with it and like how to get rid of it. And like, it's crazy because it's like such a deadly weapon that is horrifying and like shouldn't exist. And like, you have to, you know, reach out to the police and, you know, do all these things. But they are sold like, you know, like they're squirt guns in the United States. They're just so easy to get, which is what our next story is going to be about after we take a quick break.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where First-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes. That it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And mass shootings are, I think, on a lot of people's minds right now. The New York Times yesterday had a front page story about how mental illness is not a useful indicator that someone is going to carry out a mass shooting. Like, after a bunch of research into it, they've like consulted the experts and they're like, no, that's not like the stock explanation from the right is not a good thing to look out for or to criminalize or to, you know, stigmatize. Unfortunately, the other symptoms they provide for like what you should be looking out for are like equally impossible to look out for. They're like, instead it's a personal crisis, a change in behavior or appearance, like get a bad haircut or something, like is one of the things that they talk about.
It's like, oh yeah, Fred got divorced and got a mohawk.
Right.
And you're like, oh no, what?
Right.
And you're like, oh, just a regular midlife crisis.
Yeah. It talks about like various cases to illustrate this. And like they talk about like one kid who wrote a essay about like a school shooting before he did a school shooting. Like I wrote a short story about a school shooting in seventh grade, but like, I don't know. Like, yeah, my teacher probably could have taken that and been like, turned it over to the police. And instead, she was like, you're a good writer. You should like keep writing. That was cool. But like, it's just.
Wait, I'm sorry. What was this short story?
Yeah, you're very ahead of your time here.
Was that a bit? Or you're
No. I like wrote. We just had an open like fiction writing, like short story writing assignment. Right. Miss McDonald, who was big Doobie Brothers fan. That was the main thing that she liked to talk about from her personal life. But she was like, she really liked my writing. And one of the stories I wrote was just about like a kid who brought a gun to school and like accidentally shot someone who was like picking on him, but it wasn't clear if it was an accident. And
okay.
She.
Wow. And this is pre-Columbine.
Although,
too.
As you're, Jack, I think that we're similar ages. I don't know how old you are, and I'm not going to ask right now, but I definitely grew up with that campaign of gun safety in the house messaging. Yeah. Like there's a lot of like on
it wasn't
TV.
Yeah.
Or like there was that big at 90210 episode.
Yeah, the 902. It wasn't exactly
died.
Influenced by that 90210 episode, but it was.
But that's a different lens than a school shooting.
Right.
It's like a kid brought a gun. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to ask if you're, my next question was going to be like, and are you okay?
Right.
But, no.
But the, I think after I moved away, she like assigned like write a different ending to this story to the class next year. My friend told me,
oh,
which is
of your work,
of my work.
Oh my
so
God.
So I sued her.
Yeah,
she's no longer a teacher.
Yeah,
but it. I don't know. Like,
this is scary to me.
It's so wild to like, and they don't mention gun laws. I mean, yeah. I think they're like, well, it's the elephant in the room, but like, there's nothing we can do about it. But it's. So many words, the front page of the New York Times, and they don't mention gun control at all. Doesn't frame it as like an aberration, like, you know, a problem that only affects America because of the gun lobbies and how many guns we have. And instead, as we love to do in the United States, they put it at the level of individual action. Like, you know, in the same way as like inequality or like we don't have a class system because they tell us that like it's down to us to be like successful, upwardly mobile people, even though America has less upward mobility than most countries.
We don't have a upward mobility problem. We have a laziness problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No one wants to work these days.
Exactly. Like,
yeah, just always distill it. No, we don't have that. It's because of you freaking losers.
Yeah.
Right. And it truly ends with like people being like, and all you had to do was be nicer. Like if one person had been nicer to them, then like this could have all been averted. And it's just, it's fucking sick. It's so
weird. It scares me. Like, yes, it is true that we do not have good mental health resources for people and full stop. Like,
yeah.
And also, that doesn't solve this crisis.
Right.
And also, trying to categorize behaviors or people and treating them differently or flagging them scares me a lot. Just the idea that, you know, someone might be going through something or, you know, maybe their parents are getting divorced and they're depressed and all of a sudden now they're being also treated like a threat.
Right.
And what that stigmatization could do. It's really hard to be a child under the best of circumstances in a school environment and add that to the mix. Makes me uncomfortable. And it's depressing because what these people, this article is basically saying, since we can't control this through legislation, let's add something else to the teacher's responsibility. Let's add something else to that. And it's just getting it all wrong.
Everyone should have to watch the movie Pay It Forward.
That's the answer.
That's the answer
that they are
folks.
Proposing, essentially.
Like, and I hate like when things are written like this. Cause all this happens. The same thing with like policing. Any major issue we have, like when they just avoid the root cause, mm-hmm. and it's like this fucking does nothing. Where you're like, how do we figure out who's gonna be a potential threat? You know, and rather than saying, oh, at a minimum, maybe if we just had a more humane society where like people like you're going to take away a lot of other factors that create chaos in people's lives by supporting them for like first and foremost. And then if guns are the problem, then yeah, make it fucking harder to get them.
Right.
Rather than like scratching your head all the time being like, okay, but what kind of video game do they play for how long with a certain haircut? Because right. we've used a machine learning tool to algorithmically identify people. It's like, right. what the fuck?
And then meanwhile, nothing works. And so people yeah. will just say, see, like, yeah, it right. doesn't change it. We'll just
everything
have to live with
the
this.
Solution. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that the truth is that people from all sides, I mean, sure, there's people that are going to hate any conversation about gun legislations, but I don't think that that's far off from being widely accepted. From people from both sides. Like, yeah, we don't want our children murdered.
Right.
Like, I really don't think that this is that hard to yeah. Get a consensus on. There's a difference between saying that you can't have guns, which may or may not be like some of our positions. I understand that this is the United States of America and that I don't understand. I don't know how I could get to a point where people would agree to not have guns at all.
Right.
But I think that there's a lot of middle ground in between those two points. But no politician wants to touch it, either side, really.
Well, I mean, there's some pretty good ideas, though. You know, yeah. let's not get all full doom and gloom about it all, right? Because there's some good proposals out there from really forward-thinking people about how to keep our schools safe.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, Miles.
Yeah, thank you. Share them.
So, yeah, I thought you were referring to, like, you know, all the
doors?
Common sense solutions where that after Uvalde, there was majority support for in the United States, and they didn't even, like, sniff a vote in Congress. No, but I think what you're referring to is actually the solutions we're seeing rolled out in the wake of Uvalde, Ohio, and Louisiana. In the wake of Uvalde, where Ohio and Louisiana proposed laws to make it easier for teachers and school staff to carry firearms. The bill failed in Louisiana, but
Louisiana.
I kind of like that too. But a similar bill passed in Ohio, and you know, so to put this in perspective, because it might seem like, well, if a really like skilled marksman wants to like keep a gun in a safe or something. Previously in Ohio, officials who wanted to carry weapons at school had to complete 700 hours of training, which came from a Supreme Court decision following parents challenging a loosening of the existing rules. 700 hours. Mm. Training for teachers wanting to bring guns to class now that this decision has been made is just 24 hours. To put that in perspective, Ohio cops have to train for over 700 hours. And to put that in perspective, yeah. Ohio barbers have to train for 1,800 hours.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Holy shit. I mean, I can think I'm sure everyone has thought of a teacher they had who had anger problems.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Oh, like, yeah.
I have one teacher I remember like it was fucking scary. Like, because you didn't know where what side of the fucking bed they woke up on, would throw shit across the classroom at walls. And I'm like, what are we even doing? What are we even thinking? Like, this is even a potential solution. Not to say like all teachers are potentially dangerous, but like, again, there's so many varying personalities in a classroom and on a campus. Like,
but also, like, imagine being a teacher, not even just a normal teacher. My dream is to educate kindergarten, and I have had 24 hours of training, and now I'm in a situation where I am in my own nerves are wild and erratic, and I have to make a life or death decision. You know, maybe somebody hasn't started shooting, but you're scared. Maybe the teacher makes an accident. Maybe the teacher shoots the wrong child.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you even imagine putting a teacher who's decided that they want to educate for their calling is to educate young minds and put them in a position where they have to decide if one is you're going to kill one?
Yeah.
I think this is absurd. Absolutely absurd. Maybe every so often there's a teacher that's a ex-military or whatever and happens to be really good. Good for them. Not good for them. I'm not actually honoring this condition, but like that is this suggestion. But like you cannot expect teachers to. We can't even expect cops to keep their cool in a high pressure situation. They'll just run out the other way, apparently, and avoid coming in for the active shooter. Right. If we're looking at Uvalde. So what is this conversation? It's just nonsense.
Yeah. It would be the only thing. Like, when I was a kid, I was obsessed with guns. Like, as I think a lot of little boys, just little kids are, you know. And, you know, to this day, when I'm standing near a cop, like, if I'm in a fucking elevator with a cop or just, like, walking by one on the streets, like, all I can think about is like gun, because like a gun is a physical point in the time space continuum that is within your reach that could end, like that could just end any life. Like it's fucking crazy that they exist. It's crazy. Like the idea of that being in the classroom with kids, like, you know, like my kids are already obsessed with guns the way I was, and we don't like let them watch anything with guns, and like I've been like way more careful, but it's just I think like we're right to be obsessed with them at that point as your imagination is evolving, because it's like wild that they exist and they are a huge fucking deal. Like it's they just like zone in on like the thing that's like, wait, holy shit, those exist and people just like carry them around.
Things
and like
that can fucking kill and destroy. Like it's why you like bulldozers. It's why you like trains. It's why you like planes. Like,
yeah, exactly.
A gun is on that level too. You're like, this thing has the potential to do untold shit.
Yeah.
Like truly. Yeah.
Yeah. And like most Ohio school districts say they still won't allow it. You know, again, like when you ask people what they think, like outside of the systemic and all this shit, like nearly 3/4 of U.S. teachers don't want to carry guns in school, right, which is a lot. One of many examples of how the country will turn to any solution other than gun control when it comes to school safety. This one scares me because of how much I was like, do that. I'm gonna bring this up to like my kid's school. So these are safety pods, essentially metal panic rooms, for between $15,000 and $30,000. And kids basically like lock themselves in them during a school shooting. They've been around for a few years, were originally designed for tornadoes, but companies pivoted to marketing them as school shooting protection because those happen just as often, if not more often. And I was like, that literally like hit my mind like, okay, yeah, well, we're not going to get the gun stuff. So like, but get those in kids' schools. Rooms. Yeah, give them panic rooms so that they're safe. If one of these things happen, which is like fucking crazy. It's not a sign of a healthy civilization. I feel
sure
like.
Is not.
No, when it's like this thing is killing us. What's the solution? Well, more of those things.
Right.
But also some other. Just more of the thing that's causing the problem.
Meanwhile, right. Socialism is just to be feared and is evil. Anyway, just bringing that 100%. Back around.
And I tell you what doesn't have a home here in this gun, in this home where we keep guns.
Yeah.
Socialism. I'll tell you that much.
I want to not be able to afford my health insurance so that when I get shot, I die.
Right.
Ugh.
But like my children, you know, go to a school every day. I drop them off and worry about a school shooting, like in the back of my mind or the front of my mind, like depending on how recently one of those happened. And anything that would make them safer, I want to do. And like my issue with the gun thing is like, I don't think it makes them safer. Like that is my issue with like the gun thing on a very micro level, because like I just want my kids to be safe. And I think that's the way a lot of parents are, and I'm hoping that will cause some people to, you know, come around on all this gun control shit.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
another example that I don't think would work and therefore am against. Taser company Axon last month announced plans to develop drones armed with tasers that could fly around schools and help prevent the next Uvalde, Sandy Hook, or Columbine.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wait, drones?
Yeah, drones with tasers. So,
Yeah.
Who's going to fly that drone around in the school? Is it the teacher that's
Oh, no, they're automated based on this algorithmic programming right. that we
so
created.
So they'll find the problem.
That's
kid.
So racist, you wouldn't believe it. Yeah,
exactly. They like, just are constantly so, being released.
The solution is not just, man, maybe we need to do something about the guns. It's right. like, what fucking farmer looks at their field and it's like, man, we got, you know, there's these pests in my crops I got to get rid of. And they're like, what if you just fucking got some other pests that could fight them?
Yeah.
And then they would go away and they would leave your crops alone rather than like, what about pest control?
Right.
What
right.
about just saying, this is the problem, I'm addressing that, rather than going like 9 steps into my imagination with the dumbest ideas, which is like, you know, I'm actually developing a breed of rabbit that will eat all of these things.
Right.
And that's how we will solve the problem rather than this other solution that's right there in front of you that other people have used many times
before. I don't know. We could put all kids in shock collars.
Right.
Upon entering. And as soon as they start acting bad, just give them a little zap.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think hyper intelligent. Mm-hmm. Cybernetically designed cyborgs that are armed and patrolling the hall and connected to some sort of, you know,
racist algorithm
that could become self-aware. I think that is like the in our reality, the Terminators are invented in order to patrol school right. hallways. Yes.
Because we didn't do anything about gun control.
Right. And then
you can fucking make them look cute. Like, right. what was that guy? Boopy? I don't know who you were talking about.
Blippi, who pooped on his friend's butt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or, I mean, look how well the Terminator got along with Eddie Furlong and
yeah.
Terminator 2.
And he went on to be governor, too. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great.
So, you know what? Maybe gun control is a bad idea. I don't want to get in the way of a cyborg's dreams.
Yeah. Well, right. I don't want to, like, ruin the future.
Yeah. No.
I don't know.
How's he going to know why we cry? Like
that. Right.
Yeah. You know? Katie, truly a pleasure having you as always. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Oh, fun. You can find me on Twitter, just my name, Katie Stoll. And you can check out our work, the stuff that I do with Cody Johnston. Our YouTube channel is Some More News. Our podcast is Even More News. We have episodes just about every week. And I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but fuck it. We are working on a new show for the YouTube channel that will be hosted by me. And nice. That will be coming
Hell
out
yeah.
in the fall, hopefully,
Amazing.
Providing everything goes as planned,
okay.
which frequently does not happen. But in the near future, that will be happening.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. Right before we started recording, I saw a masterpiece. Well, Robert shared a masterpiece, Robert Evans. Laughing so hard, I might die. This is a glorious attempt to make a country music ballad about the Trump FBI raid. It's done sort of in the style of Poncho and Lefty and just incredible. And you know what, you guys? It is. You should go, I guess, to Robert's feed and find this.
Because we'll link off to it in the footnotes.
Oh, boy. It's ridiculous. Wow. And it made me giggle. It made me giggle. Amazing. It made my Monday.
Is the person making it? Like a true Trump supporter, or is it a piece
so,
of
yeah.
satire? Oh, okay.
No.
Great.
But although there is an anime picture on it, so maybe there's satire, but I really think it's sincere.
Yeah. The satire is they're saying, let's go, Brandon, but that's not what they mean. Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, check us out on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Also, check me out on 420 Day Fiance. Shout out to the Zeit Gang that pulled up to the 818s and Heartbreak show on Saturday. That Amazing. Was really fantastic to have a few of you listeners come up and be like, hey, what's up? I'm Zeit Gang. And I was like, holy shit. I forget that, you know, we're all out here in physical space sometimes. So it was very pleasant to meet y'all. And thank you so much for listening to the show. If you ever see me, holler at me. If you come in peace. Some tweets that are like, this first one is from at Johnny Heatwave. Tweeted, I noticed the similarities about a year ago, but remained silent. Today, the dam finally burst. And this guy basically did a side-by-side of Jiminy Glick and Tucker Carlson. Jiminy Glick, the Martin Short character.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
like the sort of film critic guy. Yeah. But I'm going to just play you a quick snippet just so you can kind of see where they're at.
Yeah, like Tucker Carlson's new high-pitched, unhinged thing does have a lot in common. It is very Glick-esque.
Well, there's nothing we can do. It's bad. We can't do anything.
When you do something like that.
But it's not entirely a stupid ad.
What?
Wait, stop for 1 second here.
What's that about?
What's that about?
Oh my
this
god!
It's really good.
What's
it's
that really, about? Really good.
Damn!
For all really you good. Old Jiminy Glick fans, and another one at Catholic Convert tweeted Radiohead voice. 'Cause I'm a Greek. I love Euros. Okay, so shout out to that one.
If anybody saw the speaking of Greek, if anyone saw the reconstruction of what Greek philosopher Aristotle looked like based on his bust, I really liked a tweet from Emma Bocellieri. Tweeted Aristotle, offensive line, University of Iowa, because that's it. He looks straight up like offensive lineman. Dad 2.0 needs more coffee. Tweeted, we rebranding quiet quitting to acting your wage, which I think that's a better use of that term, or a better term for that. Cam tweeted, I don't have time to read a baby on board bumper sticker. I am on my phone. I enjoyed that. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, you have a song that you think people might enjoy on this Tuesday?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just more of that group Malfino, M-A-L-P-H-I-N-O. Again, they're like this sort of made-up band where it's members from all over the world, but they play like Latin music, but from a made-up island called Malfino, because they're not trying to be like, yeah, we're doing this authentic shit. It's kind of like a very a creative idea, which I really enjoy. And so they always say like their songs are like representative of this like place that never existed. So this is another track called La Lango, L-A-L-A-N-G-O. Check out the work. It's really great, like background music just to work to, or just to kind of give your, you know, your home a nice feel, like you're in an old kind of, I don't know, like a 60s bar, like a tropical bar or some shit. I don't know.
Well, I'm definitely going to do that today.
Check it out. Yeah. On your kayak, wherever you got to. It will lighten up the mood.
I like to listen to it and imagine I'm in a 90s bar selling dinosaur embryos.
Ooh.
Yeah.
In a Barbasol can?
Yeah, in a Barbasol can.
Yeah.
That's fun.
But that is the oldest tropical bar I can picture. I guess Cocktail was before that. Anyways, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning, but we're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, It gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.